Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. I may have to turn off my phone. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us on this Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us all that we need to grow in Christ each and every time we open up your word, but especially so on the Sabbath when you change the showbread. Thank you, Father, for being with us since the start of the service and continuing on until Sabbath ends for us online. Thank you so much, Father God, for answering all our prayers and blessing everybody on the prayer list, especially those that are in need of salvation. And there's quite a few of them, Father, as you know. And thank you for giving us the strength, the courage, the wisdom, the faith, the discernment, the meekness, the love, everything we need to go forth and reveal Christ to the people you send our way. And we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm curious, is our Hebrew friend, the woman that always has that, uses the Hebrew text in the, no problem, Andy. I guess you didn't get the note, from, because I asked your mom to, to do the text differently. But anyway, the lady that is, she comes into the stream using the Hebrew alphabet. Yeah, I know. Okay, thanks, Anthony. If you guys see her, let her know that I got her email. I responded, but Gmail blocked it because I got a bounce back saying her email doesn't exist, which is AOL used to do that. I mean, I don't even bother with AOL, and they used to do the same thing, and we caught them red-handed doing it. I got a page on the website all about AOL blocking me, and that was, gosh, way long ago. Even before Google was invented, I think, because AOL blocked me because a bunch of Catholic priests got together in a chat room that I used to frequent and made a bunch of, told AOL a bunch of lies about what I was doing. Even though there were witnesses, they didn't care. So, anyway, this Sabbath, let's look at the Sabbath as being the seal of God. Now, yes, most of us already know this, but we have babes here in our number now that may not know how easy this is to see and explain unto people they know and love as to why the Holy Spirit has moved them to lead their Sunday-keeping churches. As a matter of fact, I just got an email this morning from an ex-Baptist preacher, pastor, in fact, asking in regards to what's the easiest way to explain it. They know the Sabbath is God's seal, and they know Sunday is the mark of the beast. But is there an easy way to explain this to someone that just doesn't know? Well, as far as I'm concerned, yes, there is. And hopefully this Sabbath day I'll be able to explain this in a way you can understand clearly enough, so you can help others to see this like we see it. Just to give you an idea, I put this on the site too, by the way, years ago. And I had to update it recently because I did this study that I'm sharing with you now on March 5th, because these are the totals I saw on Google on March 5th, back in 2010, 10 years ago, I placed the words remove 10 commandments in Google, and I found 48,000 articles and websites discussing that topic, to remove the 10 commandments. But today, on March 5th of the, this month, a few weeks ago, I put those exact same words into Google and it came up with 4,750,000 websites. Placing just the words 10 commandments in the search engine in 2010, it came up to 5,000,000, 30 articles. Okay. Yeah, 5,030,000 articles rather, and websites. Today, 28,500 articles popped up. So, I mean, and need I remind you of all the news reports concerning the Ten Commandments in the U.S. Congress these last few years. Remember Judge Roy Moore, for one? That was years ago, in fact. The law of God is a topic on many lips in the media these days, and most of the lips are lawmakers, especially now that we see some of them. As a matter of fact, somebody just the other day mentioned that God's wrath is upon us because of the coronavirus proves God's wrath is upon us. Some politician said that, and an American politician. And so we know that's where they're going to go with the climate change thing, but they can't do the climate change thing right off because they got to set the stage, and that's why you see this fake pandemic called coronavirus. So they're making sure they got everything in place so that when they do this thing in the future, they'll have everything they need so as to easily enforce the mark. But now that we understand that we should keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man in Ecclesiastes 12:13, you may be wondering why they're going after it, why they're attacking it, why there's going to be religious laws, and why it's so important that we keep the Sabbath of the Lord. Well, besides the fact that breaking it is a sin, biblical fact is the importance of the Sabbath has to deal with who we will choose to obey. The Creator God commands that we worship Him on the seventh day, which is, of course, the Sabbath that's today. And there's people out there say, well, how do you know that this is the Sabbath day like it's always been? It's always been the seventh day. Because there's always going to come up the scoffer with the excuse, like, I don't really know for a fact that this is the seventh day. Well, then stop, some Jew on the street, if you happen to come across one, especially a rabbi, and ask him, how do they know? Because since Moses' day, ever since they had their little issue of forgetting to keep the law of God because of their slavery for 400 years, the Jews have been, and they still do this to this day. I think it's upwards of 50 years worth of calendars they carry with them. And they have a little tiny scroll, but they keep 50 years worth of calendars so as to know what day of the week would be the seventh day at any given time. And especially when you saw the Vatican changing, just like the prophet said that they would, Daniel said this, changing times and laws, when they did the Gregorian thing, which is so easy to out. I mean, if you think about it, how is it that Jesus Christ is baptized 27 years after his death? Because that's when he was baptized, 27 A.D., and A.D. means after death. And so it messed things up. And so the Jews knew this was, an issue. So they carry their calendars with them. And when you ask them, they say, well, we don't call it Saturday. We call it Sabbath, is what they say. At the same time, we don't call Monday Monday. That's day two and day three. There's only two real days of the week that have a name in Scripture, and that would be Preparation Day and Sabbath Day. All the other days are work days, and they would just be numbered like 1, 2, 3, 4. But the pagans, when Rome did their melding of church and state back in 538 and 321, when they got all the people under Constantine's rule to start keeping Sunday holy, they started pushing the pagan thing. That's why you've got the sun day or the moon day for Monday or Tuesday, the names of these pagan gods like Woden's day. As a matter of fact, Santa Claus is half pagan, Saint Woden, and half Catholic Saint Santa Claus, even though that's actually a cross-dressing type. He's a transgender, if you will, because the name Santa is associated with women, Santa Maria, Santa Lucia. Men, they use the word San, like San Jose and stuff like that. So Santa is actually a guy or a woman dressed up as a guy, maybe. I don't know. It promotes homosexuality just like Rome's done since day one. So the Creator God commands that we worship Him on the seventh day, which is, of course, the Sabbath. The devil, using the fleeting authority of the men ruling the Roman Catholic Church, says, no, we should worship on Sunday. And check this out. I've got two quotes I'm going to read here. This first one is from the Redemptoral College of Kansas City in a book called The History of the Sabbath on page 802, and some priest by the name of Enright wrote it with a bunch of alphabet soup after his name, CSSR stuff. He said, the Bible says, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Catholic Church says, no, with an exclamation point, no less. Dear sister, the one with the Hebrew titles and your name and all that, I got your email, sister, but Gmail bounced it back. WTPR. No, it's not. Oh, test. Yes, it is. Okay, thanks. WTPR just fell out, so let me do a refresh on it over here. I got to type it all in, though, because I don't do an auto refresh on WTPR, because it'll go on at the weirdest times if I do that. Test. Okay, we're back on WTPR. Okay, so, but he puts an exclamation point there. He says, the Catholic Church says no exclamation point. And then he goes on to say that by my divine authority, you know, speaking for the popes, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. And there's another exclamation point. Now, that's just fulfillment of prophecy. You know, you got Daniel saying they'll change times and laws, and then of course all the world wonders after the beast. And that's right. Every church out there, including the Sabbatarian ones and the Jews, keep Sunday holy now. The Jews passed a law a couple, 3 years ago making it legal to break the seventh-day Sabbath. And the only reason they did that is because 3 or 4 years prior to that, the Vatican talked them into keeping Sunday holy as well as Sabbath. Because once they got a toehold, they went after the leg. And sure enough, because I did a radio thing on that, and I knew. I says, okay, now that they've agreed to do Sunday, you know they're going to cave when it comes to Sabbath, because they've never really been worshippers of God anyway. I mean, they deny his son. They're not the chosen people, even though the world keeps on saying that the Jews are. No, that's just a big old smokescreen. So anyway, this next quote is from James Cardinal Gibbons. That's a cardinal, not just a priest. He's a cardinal, next in line to be a pope, if you will. And this is a book he wrote in 1917 called The Faith of Our Fathers. And on page 72, he says, is not every Christian obliged to sanctify Sunday and to abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work? Is not the observance of this law among the most prominent of our sacred duties? But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, what they call Saturday, what we call Saturday now, because we were born and raised in this kind of, you know, weekday call names or whatever. But he says, the scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. So right out there, they're pushing it, and the people fall for that because they worship these priests. They worship these popes. And people say, oh, no, we don't. As well, you look up do a Bible study on the act of bowing before a statue or before a man. Look it up, especially if you kiss the hand or something, or the feet. And so anyway, again, I ask, why is the devil attacking the Sabbath? Why is the devil using the men of the Roman Catholic Church to make such a bold, an obvious stance against the Sabbath of the Lord thy God? Why are they making it such an issue in so many of the sermons or the books or the articles? I mean, they have tracks too, websites, audios, and videos. And so why do you suppose they're doing it? With so much more enthusiasm today. As a matter of fact, on my Sabbath Attack page, I've got well over 1,000 articles. I don't know what the date is when I started doing that. Let me go really quick here. And I just go to the warning section and scroll down to where it says Sunday laws are coming. And then I go down, click here to jump to news articles. So I'm just going to scroll. There's over 1,000 in this section, I think. And I started, if you put all of them together, let's see, what's the date? Oh, man, this is in the wrong section. Okay, there. Okay, color me confused, but I'd have to click one of these and see what the date would be on it to see how many is... see, there's no date, of course. All right, well, I'll look it up later. No big deal. So, anyway, boy, the mouse just doesn't want to stay on one screen here. Warren is the WTPR back, because it looks like it's up now. I get the VU meter's moving. I just noticed this PM to me. So, but anyway, so why are they having so much enthusiasm, especially in today's world, in regards to, talking points towards, enforcing the Sabbath or Sunday Alliance people. I actually called them on the phone years ago and says, you guys are planning on enforcing, using law to enforce Sunday to keep it holy. And he literally lied to me on the phone and says, oh, no, we have no plans of doing that. He says, oh, man, I got a quote here from you people where that's exactly what you plan to do. And it just didn't go anywhere. But the Bible speaks of a mark that is going to be enforced directly before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay, and so a lot of people thinking it's the end of the world now with the corona thing. No. This is the means by which they will enforce the mark. What you see that they have been doing the last 3 or 4 weeks That's just everything. In other words, we know now, we have inside information now as to what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And so at least I praise God for that, for what they're doing now. Because this is all going to blow over after a little while until they might test it again just to make sure they got all their, you know, ducks in a row. But does it matter? No. We got perfect peace. We know this was supposed to happen, so that shows us our Father's still in control. And so going on, the word mark, as it is defined in the American Heritage Electronic Thesaurus, comes with numerous variations to the word. For example, you can use these other words as interchangeable instead of using the word mark if you wanted to. Stuff like you can use the word evidence or sign or witness or symbol or indicator, stamp, token, or signification, label, seal. It just keeps going and going and going. And so you can use any of those, right? So in Scripture, you hear the word sign and you hear the word mark. So they do mean the same, and seal, yeah, the same thing. So Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17 says this. Oh, thanks, Sean. I just noticed he put the quotes in there from Gibbons and the other priest. So Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17 says this. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So why is this mark so important, and what are the actual features of a mark? I did a video on this, in fact, now that I think about it. Well, I got quite a few videos on this if you go to the Mark of the Beast page on my website. But you know, have you ever signed a document to validate it or make sure that people know that it's your document or to confirm that it's authentic? Or have you ever given your seal of approval on something? Or have you even etched your name into your wrench? You know, we used to do that when, you know, you get those. They probably still sell them to this day, but they had these etching tools that you can buy back in the 70s, and I used to put my initials on my tools because I did a lot of, repair work, if you will, back when I was a teenager as a side job, like an entrepreneurial kind of thing. And, because people would steal your tools. So I knew it was mine if it had my initials etched in it. So my point is, in government, this is an undeniable political fact of life. As we know, signing a document actually authenticates that document. Government declarations must always bear a mark of an official seal so that they can be considered valid, so they can enforce it on the population and make them comply. And so what are the actual features of an official mark or an official seal, like the governments do? Well, there's three parts to this. Let me just see how many. Okay, I should be able to get through with this next 10 minutes. Three parts to an actual seal. Oh, and by the way, if those of you are concerned about how do you get the mark in the forehead and in the hand, ask me. I don't know if I'm going to cover that today, but ask me later. During the study hour or fellowship, or I can just send you to my Mark of the Beast page. I show in detail because we've mapped the human brain now. So again, I'll get to that later. Anyway, an official seal or sign must always have three of these features in order to be valid. Number one, you got to have the name of the official. Number two, you got to have the title of the official, and the number two, of course, or three, you got to have the territory of that same official. And so when the President of the United States signs a bill into law, he must sign it, name, like take George Washington, for example. I'm not going to mention any presidents today because then it looks like we're leaning in one direction or the other. So number one, name, George Washington. Number two, his title, of course, President. And number three, his territory is obviously the United States of America. So his signature would read George Washington, President of the United States. Like if I was to sign something, Nicholas, Pastor, Seventh-day Remnant Church, stuff like that. And so every government document must be sealed in this manner for it to become an official legal document. That is the only way it can be considered to be enforceable law. Yet I know there's unjust laws out there that have not been ratified or even signed, and yet they're enforcing them on us. But that's okay. That too was prophesied. Unjust laws was prophesied. So don't let it get your blood up. You know that your Lord is still in control when you see this stuff happening. And so, looking to the Creator, we realize that He does, in fact, have a heavenly kingdom, because that's why the kingdoms on earth always emulate the way He does things, because Satan wants to be worshipped like a god, and so he gets all the people that are under his wing as charred as they are, he gets them under his wing, and they do structure government in the exact same way God does, but there's that little twist of, you know, everything from, you know, lies to murder. I mean, it's just amazing what governments down here do. And so a kingdom always has to have a governing body. And in this case, the ruler of the kingdom of New Jerusalem is God himself. That's his government. And so the Almighty also has a legal document containing the laws for his kingdom. Because if you break these laws, you can't enter into the city of heaven. It's pretty plain right there in Revelation 22. It talks about how the only people that get in, I think it's 22 verse 14, if somebody wants to put it in the room there, the only way to get into that kingdom is that you keep the law of the land. I mean, case in point, I've been in jail when I was a young man because I wouldn't keep the laws of the land, right? It's just how many people end up in jail because they don't keep the laws of the land. So if you don't keep God's law, you can't get in that land. And so he's a ruler. And so what's his legal document? What's his law? Well, the Ten Commandments. I mean, he doesn't have to have 40,000 different laws like we do down here. As a matter of fact, Obama in 1 year passed 40,000 regulations. That's kind of like what crippled things, and that's what Trump was removing. But again, I don't vote for either one. I just don't vote because then I, you know, even if you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for evil, so I don't vote. But looking directly into the midst of the law of God or the Ten Commandments, you're going to find something that's pretty amazing. It's the seal of the living God. It's right there in commandment number 4. Because it says this, in the midst of that commandment, which is Exodus 20 verses 8 to 11, of course, but I'm just going to read verse 11 or part of it. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. There's the seal. He signed his document right there. In that passage, we see all three of those features that are needed. And because without these three features, that law, the law of God in New Jerusalem, is unenforceable. It's just words etched in stone otherwise. But he sealed it, just like a president seals. George Washington, you know, president of the United States of America. Well, how do we find it? It says, Lord made heaven and earth. How is that the seal? Well, you got his name. Right there, first one, it says, Lord. And Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. Right? His title, well, creator, because he used the word Lord made. He made means creator, right? And so his territory, well, what did he create? Well, heaven and earth. So there's his seal. Collectively, his signature would read the Lord, creator of heaven and earth, just like George Washington, president of the United States, right? Same thing. So one can easily see that the seal of the living creator God is actually found in the Sabbath commandment of the creator God. It's an acknowledgement of his authority as the creator, as well as the author of that law written in stone, and then, of course, sealed by his name. And so when we keep his Sabbath, we are expressing that we recognize or remember, and there's a reason he put the word remember at the beginning of commandment number 4, because that was prophesied that we would be taught to forget it. Daniel talks about that. But that's the only prophetic statement you find in all Ten Commandments is the word remember. It's a one-word prophecy. Remember, because you're going to be taught to forget it. So when we keep a Sabbath, we're expressing that we recognize and remember and worship him as our creator. All right? Psalm 77 verse 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And how should we remember him? Well, the fourth commandment plainly says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And why do we remember him on this day? Well, because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So you can't go, well, look, you know, I've got a kind of a goofy job. I take Wednesdays off, so that's my Sabbath. No, it doesn't work that way. He chose the day. You can't change it. What is it, Numbers 23:20? Somebody put that in the room too, thanks. Numbers 23:20. Oh, thanks again. Revelation 22:14, as I said earlier, blessed are they that do his commandments, they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city. So you can't get a new Jerusalem unless you keep his law. And Numbers 23:20 says, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Just like, Nebuchadnezzar, or was it the other guy? Anyway, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he couldn't reverse the law. He tried, but he couldn't reverse it. Well, our God's not going to reverse it. He blessed it. He hallowed it. He sanctioned it. I mean, picture it this way. Let's say there's only 7 trees in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord tells Adam and Eve, you can eat all the fruit off of 6 of these trees, but that one over there, you don't touch. He picks a tree out of there, right? And says, don't touch that tree, because the minute you touch it, you will contract a fatal disease called aging. You're going to die that day. You're going to start dying that day, actually, is how we would say it today. And so, how well would it work out for them if they thought, well, you know, that tree kind of looks cool. It's got good-looking fruit. Smells amazing. Okay, there's an annoying serpent in the tree. We'll just ignore him. But the thing is, I don't really care for what's on tree number 2. So number 2 is going to be the tree that I won't eat from and I'll eat from. No. They get kicked. They were kicked out of the garden. You can't do that. Just like you can't change the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And so just so you know, the perfection of this law is just that even if you were unable to step into a church on Sabbath, you can still keep that day holy. Because brothers and sisters, that's where we're headed. The church of Christ started in the homes. Look at the book of Acts. Look at how many home churches are mentioned. You know, having church in thy house. I mean, look it up. It's in there. Well, the church of Christ, especially the remnant people, are going to meet in their homes. Why? Well, what we're doing is soon to be illegal. I mean, if you don't believe me, go to China. See how easy it is to be a Christian there without hiding and having your worship services, you know, in caves or in the forest or hidden areas. And then they catch you, they kill you. Not only that, they harvest your organs. That's what they're doing to the Christians now. They're taking them, putting them in prisons, and then killing them. And sometimes they don't even kill them. They harvest the organs while they're alive. That act kills them. They're just, it's just like Nazi Germany. They were communists, you know? So same thing, more or less. So the perfection of the law, that even if you weren't able to step into a church, you can still keep the Sabbath holy each week. That alone makes a clear statement of your desire to worship the Creator God without ever even having to speak a word. I mean, the act of worship alone can be seen far and wide. You could literally be deaf and blind and even paralyzed from head to toe and still have the ability to proclaim Christ Lord by keeping that day holy to the best of your ability. When you do this, the Lord proclaims unto you that it is a sign. There's that word, sign, mark, evidence, marked, or whatever, you know. So it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Lord, the Lord that doth sanctify you. That's Exodus 31:13. That literally means unless you keep his law, he cannot and will not sanctify you at all. Now, sanctify means to be set apart for a holy use. So all these wolves on the pulpits, because the prophecy stated there's going to be many false prophets out there. All these guys out there, none of them are sanctified to stand on them pulpits. None of them, including the SDA pastors, because the Seventh-day Adventist Church not only has a church and state conglomeration or an image to the beast, they also have dozens upon dozens of Sabbath-keeping, Sunday-keeping churches. Yeah, believe it or not, it's on. I got a whole list on SDAapostasy.org. Look in the menu on the left. You'll see it when you read the title. So, with all that said, it's easy to see why the devil would try to attack the Sabbath day. It's the ultimate threat to his agenda, and even more so to his dominion. The devil wants to be worshipped as a god by as many people as he can tempt. When you do his will, you make him your god. Because Romans chapter 6, verse 16 clearly said long ago, Romans 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. There's no gray areas there. It's blunt. So when you obey, you give worship. Is this not the age-old controversy between Satan and Jesus anyway? Is this not the plot of this holy war we find ourselves engaged in right now? Who you choose to worship makes all the difference in this battle between truth and lies. Satan seeks your worship out of sheer arrogance. I mean, did he not already say in his heart that he wants to be like the Most High? It's right there in Isaiah chapter 14. It's verses 12 to 14. I'm just going to summarize it, but it says, O Lucifer, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will be like the Most High. You'll find it. That's in verses 12 to 14. And so, seeing how God has already sealed the true Sabbath as his sign or mark, the devil's only recourse in this matter is to counterfeit his own Sabbath. Because remember what I said earlier? He's going to emulate everything the Lord does, because that's how it is. That's reality. How the Lord does it is how it should be done. But Satan has to put his twist on it. But it has to be a subtle twist, so that he can still be considered a god. Even though, see, he doesn't even care if you worship him as Satan. You can worship him as Baal, or Chemosh, or some of the other false gods of the Old Testament, or even some of the strange gods of today. I mean, look at all these denominations out there with their creeds that are above the Bible. That's what it is. That's their god. They put their creed before the Bible. And so again, the only way for the devil to get that worship is to counterfeit his own Sabbath as a sign or a mark of his dominion as a god. And as we discovered earlier, the Lord declares unto all creation that if you truly love him, you will keep his commandments. I mean, keeping the seventh day Sabbath is proof unto all, including your heavenly Father, that you worship the Creator God. And so next Sabbath, we're going to look at how Rome describes their seal, their sign, or their mark. Hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.